Donut Bag is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Your data is your business. Protect it with ExpressVPN for 3 extra months free with a 1-year package. Go to the link listed in my Twitter profile.
You know how some TV shows are like, previously on blah blah blah, and then they have like a little thing of the things that happened before in the show. Previously on the Donut Bag, the last time you were on, they were in the middle. I don't know if they were in the middle of their 4 in a row streak or they just won 3 in a row or something, because it was pretty early on. This was a few weeks ago, but they were basically undefeated start of the season, and
no,
they weren't.
They won the first 2 games, lost the 3rd game.
They
won the first and second, lost the 3rd game to Montreal in overtime. I think that was
they lost in overtime, and then they beat Buffalo. They beat Arizona, Tampa.
Hold on, you're jumping ahead. Then game 4, we played LA, we won. Yeah. Then we played Columbus. And we won, and then we went on our losing streak, starting with Edmonton.
So they started off pretty good. And when we talked,
remember, I didn't agree with you though. Remember, I said I was not impressed. I'm embarrassed.
Exactly. You were critical of them, even though they were winning. And look at them now.
Telling you.
What the hell happened? What is going? This is the worst losing streak since Sidney Crosby's rookie year.
7 games.
7 games. What's going on? What happened?
It's all those good re-signings.
I might get angry and emotional because this is what's going on. And like, I mean, we talked about this when in the off season, when they decided to keep Malkin and Letang and bring back Rust and Raquel and basically made little to no changes. We laughed but when that happened, people were like, yay, yes. People actually said, I don't care about them winning. I just want to see Malkin and Letang together with Sid. And that made me so angry, but hey, whatever, if that's what you want, fine. But is that what we're my thought is they're stale, they're old, and they haven't really made any changes. What do you think?
I think there's a disconnection in the room. I think Sullivan's lack of confidence running a lineup consistently so the boys can, like, you know, connect and make some chemistry. Takes more than a couple games. I give it, you know, 5 to 10 games to find that flow before, you know, jumping ship and going in a different direction. I think Sullivan needs to do better controlling his bench, running his bench, going with what he thinks. Maybe he's listening to players because he is a bit of a player's coach, right? Which isn't a bad thing. He values, you know, his veteran players, and I'm the same kind of coach. But at some point, when it's something's not working, you have to fix it. And I think that, you know, those re-signings, I mean, they were, like I said it before, they were a bad idea. They were a bad idea because, you know, and I hate talking bad about you know, Letang and Gino, but I really think it would have been best to move on with Gino while we could still get, you know, some good money for him. He is a point per game. Any team would be happy to get him, even though he is injury prone. And when he's out, he could miss, you know, a couple weeks, couple months, but he's still good for a point per game. He's a production player. And Letang, I mean, he's been good. He got, like, went through that kind of dry spell and then he found his wings. But I mean, him and Dumoulin just aren't cutting it. Dumoulin's not pulling his weight. Like, there's so much going on. There's so much going on here. Honestly, I think this team needs to revisit what steps and actions and things that were in place back in 2015 through 2017. And maybe try to find those things, emulate those things.
Well, let's start with Dumoulin, because so many people are saying that it's all his fault and that he's just not what he was, and he's just terrible. Is it really that bad with Dumoulin?
Yeah, he's not having a good season. He's had a good couple good plays, good moments, but he's not playing to his potential, to what he's capable of. It doesn't seem to be that he's having any, you know, issues, injuries, or, you know, we can't really speak on his personal life, but I think he might've just either lost his mojo. His heart's not into it. He's going through the motions. Or maybe there's a disconnect somewhere in the locker room with regards to Dumo, but keeping him on the top line, you know, you gotta shake him up somehow. Either sit down and have a chat with him as a coach. Sydney, as a captain, needs to do that. And find out what's going on with him. And then if there's nothing going on in his life, no distractions, nothing that's, you know, affecting his play, then bump him down. Drop him down to the third line and say, buddy, you gotta earn the top line. You gotta earn it.
And bring up who? P.O. Joseph?
Was he just sent back? I forget.
O'Connor was, and they brought up Philip Hollander. Which I want to say Marie Collander, but that's the she makes food. No, they brought up Philip Hollander, but yeah, P.O. Joseph is still up.
Okay, I'm just taking a look here at my notes. Do you know which way Petrie shoots?
Petrie is on the right side.
What about Pedersen? Does he have left?
Pedersen's shot? On the left. Yeah.
Okay, I'd move Pedersen up with Letang. See how that goes. Pedersen's been one of our best players all season. Yeah. Like hands down, he has been one of our best players, if not, you know, the best player. Yeah.
What about Petrie?
Well, that's why I asked what way he shot. Right, Petrie. Petrie's been nothing. He hasn't been like, you know, anything special. He hasn't been our worst player. I don't really have much of an opinion on him, to be honest.
But is that actually a bad thing because they were expecting more from him?
Yeah.
Be okay is one thing if you're expected to be okay. But if you're expected to be good to really good and you're just okay, then that's a problem.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's not jumping out to me. I mean, he's played, 12 games with the Pens and a couple of exhibition games. I think he might need a bit more time to find his place in the team, find, you know, friendships that feel part of that family dynamic. And I don't really want to – he hasn't – like, to answer your question, he hasn't been bringing – what we brought him here for, like what we expected. But ask me again in like 12 more games. Yeah, I need to give him, like, I like to give players a bit of time to find their feet. You can't really expect things to happen overnight. I know it's only been 12 games, but it's not enough. He needs more games and see if maybe he gets better. If he stays the same or gets worse, then that was definitely a bad pickup.
I think with someone his age to coming onto a new team, there's going to be an adjustment period. And with someone that old, it is going to be an adjustment period. So yeah, he still needs time. Another thing I keep hearing is that the top six is okay, the bottom six is a big problem. Is the bottom six that bad?
Well, Sullivan really hasn't been consistent with his lines. Like, he was running with Raquel, Jake, and Sydney for a few games, and then he dropped Raquel and brought up Rust again. You know, the bottom six. Yeah, they're, you know, another player that's been dropped to the bottom six is Heinen, because he was playing for a little bit in the top. I think he played game five on the top line with Sydney. I don't think Heinen would be categorized as a weak link, but yeah, it hasn't been really anything special in the bottom six. But it hasn't been consistent enough. Like, Sullivan hasn't gone with the lines, the same lines long enough to see what works and what doesn't work. Sometimes things take time. So that's all there is to it. And if you don't have patience for it, and you're going to just keep, you know, messing around with the line, playing with it each game, you're going to continue to be falling into these same mistakes of having no connection, no fluidity, you know, just a scatter mess on the ice. So,
yeah. Another talking point is Kasperi Kapanen. I believe, has only scored in the last 51 games going back to last year. He has only scored 3 goals in the last 51 games. This is like Hextall was praised for. It's like, oh, you brought back Russ. That's amazing. You brought back Raquel. That's great. Okay, Malkin and Letang, you brought them back at you know, lower numbers than you thought that they would get. But then he signs Kapanen to a 2-year, I believe, $6.4 million deal. And now they have no cap space. They only have, right now, I think they only have like $5,000 in cap space. So really, even if they wanted to bring someone up from Wilkes-Barre, they have like almost no, like I hear Ty Smith, they might want to bring him up. They can't, because they have no cap space. They're stuck.
Yeah, Kapanen's, he's not, if, okay, so pretend I'm Sully. I'd be benching him. Healthy scratch. Because his numbers are garbage. Like, for example, the last 5 games, he's had no goals, no assists, no points. He's had 4 shots on goal in the last 5 games. He's not carrying his weight.
He hasn't carried his weight for almost, for basically 5 years now.
No. In 2021, he played 40 games and he had 30 points. That would probably be, you know, one of his best seasons career. Aside from maybe 2018-19 in Toronto, he played 78 games and had 44 points. But everything else was bleak. Last year, 79 games, 32 points. You know, that's... It's all right. He had, you know, it's not all right. I'm lying. And this year, 12 games played, five points. Again, yeah, no, he's dropped off. He's dropped off, and I would put the fear of God in him and bench him, healthy scratch for a few games, and say, you know what, you want a spot on this team, you got to work for it. You don't get handed things here. We're a professional sports organization with the intention of winning championships, and we can't do that. One thing I find with this team is it's all about emotions and feelings. It's like, no, this is about winning. This is the big time. This is the show, essentially. Like, not the slop show, the show. So, you know, I think Sullivan needs to pull up his bootstraps a little bit and be a little bit more, like I said earlier, control his bench, run his bench, assert his dominance better.
That's the thing. It's like, you know, maybe they're saying, it's like, well, we just gave this guy a new contract. We have to play him. You know, Dumoulin's been here forever and he makes a lot of money. We have to play him with Letang. Like I'm tired of this notion that nothing can change. Yeah, and I'm disgusting. So sick and tired of it. Change something.
Well, what's that definition? The definition of insanity is doing the same things over and over again and expecting different results. Like, this has been a problem with Sullivan for the last 5 years. Or 60, we're going on 6 years now since we won, right? So he doesn't seem, and it's not like Sullivan's stubborn necessarily. He doesn't come off as the most stubborn. He could have his moments. He seems to be very, you know, open to suggestions and stuff, but he's not, like I said, he's not running his bench properly. He needs to be more confident. And two, if your coach isn't confident in himself and his, you know, what he's doing, his moves, his lineups and stuff, how do the players have confidence? How are the players going to have confidence in him? You know what I mean? It kind of affects the overall morale of the team.
When I say maybe Sullivan should be gone, people tell me I'm insane and not stupid, but that's not even a possibility. How can you say that? He's a good coach. Look at what he's done. I'm not saying he's not a good coach. There's a reason he hasn't
won the Jack Adams. Is that the right word?
You're the coach of the year. Yeah, I think it is a Jack Adams.
There's a reason why he hasn't. Okay, so basically we're in the position where we were with Mike Johnson. What happened in November of 2015?
It was a disaster.
And then we ended up signing Sullivan. So I know we just signed Sullivan for, I think, another 3 years, but you know, those contracts I don't think are set in stone. Like, you can still be fired.
It's kind of like the Steelers with Mike Tomlin. I'm not saying Tomlin is a bad coach, but when you've been at the same place for many years, things get stale.
Big time.
Sometimes a change is needed.
But that's not always necessarily the head coach that needs to be changed. It could be some of the coaching staff, or it could be bringing in, you know, someone else, an advisor, so to speak, with, you know, a fresh perspective that can speak that, you know, is valued, their opinions, their thoughts are valued to, you know, oversee and, I don't know, give notes.
I don't want to know what. I don't want to know why you're laughing.
Oh boy. But yeah, it's just, you know what? I'm not the type of person to be like, okay, like, fire Dumoulin, fire Sullivan, fire Kapanen. No. Kapanen needs to be a healthy scratch for a few games. Dumoulin needs to be dropped to the third line pairing. And Sullivan needs to, you know, like, I'm not quick to fire. I'm quick to first, I want to try something different, you know, before I, you know, start giving out pink slips. It's easier to work with what you got and retool things than it is to, you know, have any faith in Ron Hextall finding us players that are going to work.
I'm telling you, I still think Ron Hextall is a double agent working 100%.
For the Flyers. 100%.
I'm telling you.
100%.
It's still there.
It's like if I went to go and coach, you know, let's go back before Pittsburgh came in my life. Say I'm still a Shark fan, and I got hired to coach the LA Kings.
You would intentionally sabotage them? Is that what you would do?
No, I'm not saying that. But I'm going to have that, you know, that rivalry in my head at all times. So I can't really necessarily do the best job for this team. I wouldn't be the best person for the position because of that. Now, if the Kings were ever to approach me and say, hey, do you want to come coach us or whatever? Professionally, I'd have to say yes. But it's a good thing I'm not a Sharks fan anymore, right?
I'm telling you, if you became a coach of a team you hated, you would change. I'm telling you, I'm just telling you, you would change. I have to be honest
because when I become an NHL coach, it's very probable that I might be the first female one. So that's history made. So I kind of would have to, you know, be that role, the best I can be, but it would be really tough, like, you know, helping Philly beat the Pens or something. Like,
if the Flyers approached me tomorrow and said, we want you to run the Philadelphia Flyers Twitter account and their social media, I would embrace that, even though I hate the Flyers. Or if someone said you got to talk to Tom Wilson or something like that, even though I want to do harm to him, I would still try to be professional and try to
absolutely work with respect to Tom Wilson. I'm actually working on a book. I'm writing a book about the mentality of hockey and the importance of it. And I've got a bunch of current and ex hockey players that are helping me. Like, I'm doing an interview with them. They all get the same question. And then it's for, I'm going to be using that for my book. And I'm going to actually go after Tom Wilson too.
Interesting.
Yeah. To be interviewed, I mean, not rivalry wise.
Okay.
But yeah.
Okay. So do you have any other notes about, I know you keep notes on the games. What have you been seeing?
You know, I do. So aside from the losing the last seven games, I think two or three of which, or maybe more, we had leads, sometimes substantial leads, 2-3 goal leads. And not being able to be consistently play the full 60. It's like what I talked about with you after the first three games, and you were all excited, you know, 6-2, 6, they won the first two games by 6-something, and you were so pumped. And I'm just like, I'm actually pretty embarrassed. I'm not excited. Because I said, and you were shocked. But then again, you do know me, and I'm a little bit of a hard one. But I knew the reason I said that was because I knew that this was coming. I knew this team did not have what it takes to maintain that type of play. I saw it coming, and here we are, 7-game losing streak. That being said, like I covered in our last podcast, I've been covering turnovers and missed shots for each inning. Atta girl. Each period, including overtime, and I tally up the totals for each player and, of course, the totals for all the games. So just to refresh, in game 1, 2, and 3, we had 40 turnovers. So 40 turnovers in 3 games. And our biggest turnover machines were Gino, Petrie, Kapanen, Sidney, Letang, Pettersson, and then DeSmith. But you know, I mean, goalies, whatever, but you still got to be careful. For the last 9 games, games 4 through 12, our turnovers actually came down in comparison to the 40 in 3 games. For the last 9 games, we had 60 total.
60.
60.
Hmm.
So that's not bad, right? If you're looking at the numbers. But our biggest turnover machines were Sydney with 8, Gino with 7, Dumoulin and Letang with 7 each. So again, those names. Our turnovers have come down, but there's still a problem. And the lack of communication, or, you know, these blind passing or leaps of faith or fancy passing, are leading to turnovers. Dumoulin, Letang, Sydney, and Gino, you know, you guys got to clean up your game a little bit. So with regards to missed shots, in games 1 through 3, we had 36 missed shots. In games 4 through 12, so in the last 9 games, we have had a combined total of 112 missed shots.
112?
112.
Wow.
I know. And our biggest winner for most missed shots with 13 is Brian Rust. And then you've got Dumoulin, Sidney, Gino, Zucker, holy moly, Archibald. So basically the same guys plus another one. Shots are missed opportunities. Missed shots are speeding through, rushing the shot, maybe trying to take the shot rather than passing it to, like, you know, someone that's open, and also to lack of accuracy. So for 112 missed shots, and I named the players with the highest ones, I really need these players, Sydney, Rust, Dumoulin, Gino, Zucker, and Archibald, for that matter, to spend some more time on the ice after practice. And I don't even care, put up a shooter tutor, like those old school nets that you put that have the slots open, the 5 slots. It's like a goalie sheet or whatever. And hit those. Don't leave the ice until you hit them all 20 times in a row without missing. Like this is this is embarrassing. Like 112 missed shots is embarrassing. These are our veteran players, our more experienced players. You wait, why are you missing the shot? So that's my issues there. One other thing that when I'm speaking about passing, Gino and Sydney had an amazing opportunity for a goal, but they kept passing. Where did it? Second period of the game in Buffalo on November 2nd. Gino and Sydney are just passing back and forth. The goalie slides to one side and Gino decides to pass, or Sydney decides to pass to Gino where the goalie was. But the net was open here. Sydney could, you know what I mean? Like, you got to read your goaltender. You got to know your goaltender. And you got to leave. Like, people are starting, other players know your patterns. They know who they're playing against and they know how to play them. Start mixing it up a little bit and do things that are unexpected so that, you know, you can score goals and stuff.
There was also Kapanen had a wide open net, I think, in the Kraken game.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that too. Yeah. 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 So.
Can it get better? I don't know. It has to get better, doesn't it? I mean, is it just, this is the worst losing streak since, you know, in what, 15, 17, 18 years or whatever. It has to get better, right?
Well, too, a lot of people are saying, you know, I'm not worried. It's Pittsburgh. They'll come back. Da, 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 da. You know, very, very good chance they will come back and find their flow. But what's happened to their mentality in these last 7 games that they've lost in a row? That's going to stick with them. So when they play their next game, they're not going to be playing as controlled and organized because they're going to have those numbers sitting in the back of their head, that fear. This is why the mentality of hockey is so important, that you need to leave last night's loss gone. It's gone. You know, if you want to go and review the video and see what you did, actually, I want to talk about the video again in a second, but move on. You know how to play the game. You've been playing it since you started skating at 5 years old. Move on and, you know, keep your head clear. With regards to what I wanted to say about video, I don't like how players go back, like come off the ice to the bench and pick up those tablets. I hate it. I think it's absolutely unnecessary because, well, unless they're looking at like an altercation or something, but the Jumbotron usually shows that you see players looking up, but to go grab, take yourself out of the game, grab to look at, oh, your shot that you missed the net or whatever, do your video review after. Anything you look at on the bench is not going to help you moving like for the rest of the game, because not the same thing's not necessarily going to happen. Be present in the game. Like I hate those tablets on the bench. Since I've seen them, I've hated them. Players need to just remain focused, head clear, and no distractions.
You kids with your electronics, put them away. No, but that's an excellent point that I never thought of. So instead of paying attention to the ice and seeing what's going on as it's happening, they are looking at their tablets to see, you know,
what
whatever
they did wrong or blah, blah, blah. No, that's not your job. You've got a video coach for that. You've got other coaches for that. Your job's to be present.
Here's a crazy idea. Pull that, do that crap in between periods.
No.
You have time.
It doesn't even matter. It's not relevant. What happened in the first period, a play that didn't happen or fell apart in the first period, has absolutely nothing to do with that game. Because it's going to stick in your head and you're going to remember it. And then you might have like this like insecurity about if you're set up in that position again, because you're going to be thinking about what you just reviewed 6 times. Stay present. Stay present. Review your footage after the game or the next day once you've, you know, had some time. I hate them. I think they're one of the stupidest things that have ever been introduced to the bench. But yeah, don't like them.
I never thought of that. Another thing that is so frustrating is in most of these games that they've lost, they've had a lead and then they give it up. Sometimes a multiple goal lead.
Yeah.
And they give it up. They are really poor in the third period. That's
they're poor
good.
About halfway through the second period and on.
Is because, it past their bedtime? Is that it? Or they?
For example, the game against Boston at home on November 1st, Sidney scores 30 seconds in, his first shot on goal of the game, and he starts the game off beautifully. Wonderful way to start the game. Do more of that, please, Sidney. And then Cole scores to tie it up. And then whatever, Boston's up 2-1 by the end of the first. Then Gino comes back in the second, Zucker, Rust, Raquel. And we're up, what are we up? 5-2 at that point.
5-2, you're up 3 goals.
And then towards the end of the second period, Marchand scored, making it 5-3. And then in the third, 2 more goals from Boston ties it up. And then we lose in overtime. That's really bad. I mean, the same thing happened against Buffalo. We were up, I think, 2 goals. No, we were up. Wait, where were we? One. We were up 2-0. Middle of the second period against Buffalo. And then we ended up losing 6-3. So, yeah.
Here's what drives me crazy. They play a certain way to get ahead. And then when you have a lead, they don't change anything. They don't play more defensively. They don't play more conservatively. They play the same aggressive way. Why don't you try to? And yeah, I know sometimes you shouldn't change the way you are or whatever, but do something different if you keep giving up these leads. It's not working.
Don't let your opponents know your next move. You know, like throw something up. It's like when you sit down at a poker tournament, a Texas Hold'em tournament, and you know, you get you're dealt a 2-4 offsuit, right? And you don't want your opponents to know, be able to predict how you're going to bet on each hand. So you go in on the flop with crappy cards, right? And you play out that hand. Even if you lose, your opponents aren't going to know. I'm telling my secrets now. Oh, man.
I'm writing these down in case I ever play poker against you.
Right? But it's the same thing. You give your opponents opposite information so that they don't know how to, you know, read you, or you become unpredictable. And in hockey, it's a very predictable game. But if you can play an unpredictable game, you're leaps and bounds ahead of everyone else.
If Sullivan was playing poker, he'd probably tell everybody his cards. Like, everybody, I got a 2 and a 4.
Yeah, I'd smoke him at poker.
It's just so frustrating that they just do not change anything. It's just either a stubbornness or I don't know. They only play one way. And I think that's the reason why they lose in the playoffs. They basically tell how they're going to play, and that's it. And if you know, and just like you said with poker, if you know what your opponent's going to do, it's real easy to counteract that because you know what they're going to do.
Yeah, predictability is a dangerous game.
So frustrating.
So frustrating. Predictions, or do we want to talk about the giveaway?
Yeah, let's. What's that?
Do we want to talk about the giveaway first?
Let's talk about the giveaway, sure.
All right, so should I do it?
Go for it.
All right. So for Donut Bag listeners, that's the name, right? Donut Bag?
Yep.
Yeah. For Donut Bag listeners, I have decided to do a giveaway for, obviously, listeners. For the third time, I'm going to say it, listeners of this episode, or of course, all episodes, but this one primarily. Tim Hortons has been doing a hockey card collection since 2015 every season. And this year, it's never been available to Americans. So I collected extra sets this year. And I'm going to be doing a giveaway on this channel for Joey's listeners. It's going to be 120 in total base cards. So the full base card selection of this year's collection. And, you know, it's just these kind of cards. Whatever, right? So it's going to be 1 through 120. The winner will, I will send them to them, send them to the winner. Just have to follow, watch for instructions when we post, or sorry, when Joe posts this podcast. And then that's all I'm going to say at this point.
Yeah, I will, when I post a link, there will be instructions for how to enter. So very, very cool that you're doing this. This is,
well, I feel bad because a lot of my hockey card friends are American and like they missed out on this collection. And no, Tim Hortons, I'm not saying to expand this and go to the States because it's already hard enough to get the full set. Don't do it. But I mean, if you do it, whatever. But yeah, I felt bad. So I decided, you know, I might do another one down the road on another one of our shows. And of course, I already have a set for you, Joe.
Thank you. That is so nice.
So predictions.
Okay, predictions. So we're going to predict until the end of the month. So throughout. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So we have the next game is at Washington, which should be a lot of fun. Then at Toronto, then at Montreal. Then the next week, home to Montreal, at Minnesota, at Winnipeg, at Chicago. So nice little Midwest swing. Then home to Calgary, at Philadelphia, home to Toronto, and then home to Carolina. So that is 11 games.
Right.
What do I think they're going to do in 11 games?
Okay, well, how about we just go game for game? So
game for game, okay.
At Washington, our next game.
I'm going to say that's a win. I'm going to say the losing streak has to end. So I'm going to say that's a win.
I haven't even watched one Washington game this year. So I don't even
apparently they're almost as in bad shape as the Penguins because they've had a lot of injuries.
Yeah, you know what? I'll go with you with a win. Yeah. Sydney always plays better against.
It's just emotional. It's just you can't lose to you can't lose to the Capitals.
Well, we have.
Well, we have. Yeah. But
okay. So moving on, we're in Toronto.
Toronto, I think that's definitely a loss.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you on that too.
At Montreal, I think that's a loss also. I don't think they play well against Montreal.
I'm going to go with a win. Because they embarrassed us game three. Okay. We were started off so strong game one and two.
Yeah.
12 goals we scored in total in game one and two. And then we dipped off and lost to Calgary.
Okay. Home to next week, home to Toronto. I say it's another loss.
I'm gonna say Toronto just beat Boston. Boston's was at the top of the food chain for a while. I have them losing in Toronto. You know what? I'll have them win. Okay. I'll have them win that game.
This is crazy. I'm usually the optimistic one. My predictions haven't
been really good this year so much with the scores, but I normally don't predict this early in the season.
Yeah. 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 It's unpredictable.
So you've got them losing, right?
Yeah. Okay, Minnesota. Okay. So at Minnesota, I'm going to say it's a loss. I don't think they usually play well at Minnesota. So
yeah, I'll take a loss too.
At Winnipeg, I think that's going to be a win. I think they're usually pretty good against Winnipeg. And then at Chicago. Oh yeah, what do you think about?
I'm gonna make that. So you got a win for Winnipeg.
Yeah.
I got a loss for them.
Okay. At Chicago, I think that's a win. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll go with a win too.
I hear rumors that Kane is going to end up on the Penguins. How funny would that be? Bless you.
Thank you.
How funny would that be if Patrick Kane? Ooh, Kane. Yeah, that's what they need. They need a youth movement, so they need to get Patrick Kane. And then home to Calgary. Ooh. I'm gonna say
I'm going loss because
I'm gonna say loss. Yeah,
Calgary's actually pretty good.
They are good. And then at Philadelphia. Ooh, okay. I'm
taking that as a win.
I'm taking that as a win too. You cannot lose. You cannot lose.
And then Toronto's
home to Toronto again. I mean, God, can they lose three in a row?
I got them losing that one.
I'll say a win.
Murray could be back by then. That'd be awesome.
And then Matt Murray?
Murray's hurt right now, right? Okay. But he's expected to be back later November, maybe. So
Matt Murray playing against the Penguins would be so, and Pittsburgh so cool. He would probably get a shutout.
I might actually try and come to that game. Only if Murray's in net.
Ooh. And then the last game is home to Carolina. I'm going to say that's a loss.
Yeah, I got it as a loss too.
So I am going 5 and 6.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, same. 5 wins, 6 losses for both of us, but we have there different variations.
Yeah.
All right.
So I mean,
we'll revisit that.
5 and 6 would be a big improvement over 0 and 7. So.
Unbelievable. Did we not? Oh yeah, I forgot about our last prediction. That was a mess.
That did not go well. I predicted they would. I know. I think I predicted. I think it was like 6 games. I predicted 4 and 2 or something like that.
Yeah, you had 4 wins, 2 losses. Yeah. I had the same. I think. I know. I scribbled over mine. I don't know. I can't answer honestly because I scribbled over mine. I probably got mad. Anyways, who cares?
Probably. All right. So remember, everybody, when this episode comes out, see, look at you. You're just smacking everything.
I'm fired up, Joe.
Yeah. Do something, Penguin. Do something. Just change something. Change the nacho cheese in the nachos or something. Change something.
You know what? We're missing a glue player. We're missing a Cullen. We're missing a flower. We're missing a Talbot, a Dupuis. We're missing a glue guy, you know?
One of the worst things that Jim Rutherford did was getting rid of Hagelin basically out of spite, basically because there was another time that they were in some losing streak and he just wanted to anger everybody. So he just traded Hagelin for nothing. And that was a mistake.
Yeah, but Hagelin's not really the glue guy I'm talking about. I mean, okay. More of that, you know, that player that brings everyone together.
Hornquist.
Nope, he was not a
glue He player. Wasn't?
No, he wasn't really. There were some issues, getting along issues.
Okay. But Cullen was.
Cullen was one of the best. Cullen was one of the best. Absolute guys. I mean, like I said, Max Talbot. I'm sorry.
Bonino?
Flower even. Flower is like, he's practical jokes, this and that. You know, he makes things home. One of these players, hold on, I'm just going to quickly say this because we should have talked about this. One of these players, like McGinn, Heinen, Raquel, whatever, I can't say his name, Ruda, you know, one of these players needs to bring some personality to the dressing room, make it fun, start, you know, add value to their spot position on the team by being what this team is missing. And that is, you know, the someone that keeps it fun and reminds the players that, you know, hockey is fun. It's fun.
They should do an escape room together, or maybe, what do you do? What do you do to
team building? Team there's all kinds of different things you can do.
They used to do that. They used to go like on camps together and stuff. They should do something like that.
Yeah. They need to do team building with, you know, just the players, also just players alone. And then they also have to do some with, you know, Sullivan. Just Sullivan.
Do like, they have? Okay.
I have a whole book full of different exercises and things that teams can do.
Do they have Chuck E. Cheese up there in Canada?
I think
or
so.
Dave and Buster's.
Dave and Buster's, which is
they should go. I'll go to Dave and Buster's.
No. I don't think we should be in a bar. I think it should be more like, you know, survival things. Like the corporates send their employees to these like getaway things where they do like team building exercises. I've got a whole lot of ideas, but yeah.
They used to do stuff like that, but. Just throw them in a mountain or something like that. And, you know, maybe that would be mean to say, maybe some of them won't come back. That would be nice. But anyway, but you're right. So, some team building activity that
not some they need to be doing them like all the time, you know, and it could be easy as everyone in their uniform, right? Sticks down on the ice and playing, you know, the exercise where you stand across your partner and you throw an egg, a soft, like an uncooked egg in the shell, and they got to catch it right? And keep it going, like, so that you're relating to the other person and you know how hard to throw it, where to throw it. And those two players are, you know what I mean? Kids games, basically. Kids games, the stuff we used to play in when we were in elementary school or primary school, stuff like that. That's how you build a team or repertoire. So it's fun too. Like I said, I have a book. I was actually writing a book too about team building exercise.
Interesting.
Anyways,
maybe pickleball. Do you know about this pickleball?
Isn't it wiffle ball?
It's kind of like tennis, but it's like a shorter court or something like that. I don't know. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But you're right. Some kind of team building exercise.
Yeah, it's ones where they don't get hurt.
Yes.
Yeah. They can't possibly get hurt.
We don't need.
You know, like the two-legged race, where the two people run together and their two legs are tied together.
Yeah.
That's another good one, but don't do it. Don't do it because it leads to injury, and some of our players are made of.
They're fragile.
They're fragile. Thank you.
All right. Great talking to you.
Always.
Everybody, stay tuned for the instructions of the episode, because Jen is nice enough to give away these cards. So stay tuned for that.
Of course.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
See ya.